This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
You may know the songs I'm Not Who I Was, What If We, Give Me Your Eyes. Yes, I'm talking about Brandon Heath. Very pleased to say he's on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, Brandon.
Hey, good morning, guys. Appreciate you calling.
Oh, not at all. Now, you've really, in the time that you've been an artist, it doesn't seem like long. You compare it to most Christian artists, but you've come a long way. You've had such success. Tell us about that. I want to start at the beginning with early stuff.
Yeah.
Tell us about early stuff.
How do you know about early stuff?
Oh, I know everything.
We don't. That's why we call it stuff.
Yeah, early stuff. I mean, that sounds quite confident, too, of the future.
Well, did you know the first record that I put out was called Early Stuff?
Yes. Absolutely. It's just a great name.
Either he's referencing my early material or he actually knows that I have a record called Early Stuff.
So. It's very optimistic of you to call your first album, I reckon, Early Stuff.
Exactly. Could have been Last Stuff,
yeah.
Final Stuff. But no, you know, it's funny because I put a record out before that one called Soldier, and that record had a few songs that I'd written for a couple of other artists. They didn't get cut. And so I decided that I was going to just put my own recording together, and it ended up being my first record, because I literally wanted to be a songwriter. I wanted to write for other people, but I couldn't get them cut. And so I sang them myself, and people were interested in these songs. And one of those was called Soldier, and Bebo Norman eventually recorded that song. And then people wanted more, and so I was like, well, I could go back into the songs that I wrote a long time ago, and there was early stuff. So those are my first indie records that I put out.
So when was the moment then when you realized, wow, this is actually going to take off? Because, I mean, imagine, although confident when releasing that, you'd kind of go, wow, is this going to work or is it not? What was the moment when you've gone, yep, this is going to roll, this is going to happen?
Well, man, I had a producer friend in town in Nashville. I'm actually born and raised in Nashville. And I was going to a church that I was kind of helping with the worship team a little bit. But I was also in a men's group with a bunch of guys, and one of them was a producer. And so we had lunch, and he really believed in my music. My first single was Our God Reigns, and that was the song that he wanted to record. And so we ended up working together a little bit in the studio, and then it just clicked so well, our styles, and I trusted him with my music, and he helped me get a record deal, and it came together so quickly. It just seemed like, man, maybe this is really supposed to happen. Maybe this is the will of God, not just coincidence that it's working so well. And so the first single wasn't huge, but I'm Not Who I Was, my second single, was my first number one, and I started getting loads and loads of emails about it. And that's when I think I knew that I was definitely doing what I was supposed to do.
Tell us about how you came to faith, because you didn't grow up in a Christian home, did you?
No. My parents were both raised Christian, but neither of them really, we never really went to church. We did the Christmas and Easter thing, but that was kind of the extent of Christianity to me as a kid. But I had this organization called Young Life they're based here in the U.S., but they're all over the world, and they're an outreach to high school kids. And so they took me to camp, and that's where I heard the gospel for the first time. And I was on the ninth hole of the Frisbee golf course. Frisbee golf. I sat down with my Young Life leader, and we talked, and that's where I prayed to accept Jesus. I was 16 years old. So that was kind of the beginning of my faith.
Wow, that's amazing. On the ninth hole of the Frisbee golf course. What a memory. Now, you're a Dove Award winner. That would have been a huge experience because you'd been nominated beforehand and then to finally win a Dove Award. What does that do for your dreams and your aspirations? Do they change? Or once you hit that, you're going to kind of go, okay, cool. We can lift the bar a bit from here.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think winning those awards always kind of helps garner a little attention. And you need that to keep building, you know, to keep growing your fan base and your influence. And And those are certainly things that I wanted. I'm going after. I don't think you sign a record deal unless you know those are part of your goals. But when it comes to awards, and especially when you feel like you're doing what you're made to do, you don't necessarily have to have those. But I mean, I won't argue. They feel great to be recognized among your peers and people that you respect, not only as great musicians but just as visionaries. To get their vote of confidence always feels great.
And where do you put them in your home? Do they go on the television so everyone can see them? I would do that.
Well, I gave them to my parents at first because I just never had awards in the beginning. And so I was like, I don't want them to jinx me, you know?
Yeah.
there's kind of a thing in our industry. If you win New Artist of the Year, that's kind of the nail in the coffin for you. Nobody will see you again. And so I gave my New Artist of the Year award to my dad. I didn't even want to see it, you know. But these last three last year that I got, I bought a new house in Nashville, and there's like this cool little shelf thing in the wall. And so I put them there. That's where they are. They're gathering dust.
Nice.
Well, your most recent album is What If We, from about mid last year. Give Me Your Eyes gets a lot of airplay on the station here. Tell us a bit about your journey from the early days and early stuff to now. What's some things you've learnt and how have you developed as an artist?
Well, you know, I think one thing that everybody, you know, tries to hone in on is their sound. And I feel like finding a producer, especially one that is a friend and one that, you know, I can trust, is one of the biggest things. Dan Mukola has done every record I've ever done. He's doing the new one as well. We'll start recording in February. But I think Dan has been a big part of that, helping me find my sound. You know, we kind of use somewhat of an urban beat. Both I'm Not Who I Was and Give Me Your Eyes had that element. And, you know, I grew up on pop music, so that's been a big influence of mine as well. I still listen to pop music and love all kinds of music. So I think that really has a big influence on me. But the more I think my sensibility about how God is moving and about how he can use me, I really pay attention to what he's saying. And I try to put that into my lyrics. I've always been very transparent, you know. I've never been too afraid to make fun of myself or, you know, own up to a mistake, but also just to say, man, look at the cool things that God's doing in my life and direct it, you know, to him, not to me, to his glory. I mean, he's the one making it happen. I guess I play a part in just saying yes or no, you know, and being willing to follow. But I also attribute it to the people around me. I've got great friends and great artist friends. I'm on tour with a band called Leland right now that I love and admire. And so I just feel like I'm in a good space and I want to keep being obedient to what I think God started in me.
So let's wrap it up with this one then. For local artists who are listening to this, and maybe they're aware that they might be getting caught up in the kind of going after the glory and the fame thing, what would you say is the danger in that?
Man, that's a great question. I think going after the glory, you could still have a little success with that. I mean, everybody likes, you know, go-getters, but I think there's a certain longevity in it. If you're in it for the glory and you're in it for the money or whatever reason you're doing it. By the way, there's not a lot of money in Christian music. I'm just telling you right now. But there are. I think if our motives are wrong, God is not going to allow us to stay there for very long. I mean, let's be honest. We are proclaiming His name. And if his name is involved and you're making a mockery of it, he's probably not going to let you do it for very long. So I just feel like there is a huge level of accountability to the Lord himself. If you are doing his work and you're not doing it for the right reason, I think he has the power and absolutely will pull you out of it.
Brandon Heath, great advice. You are a legend. Thanks for chatting to us.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. I haven't been to Australia yet, but I'm planning a trip out in March or April, so hopefully I'll see you then.
Fantastic. We'll see you then.
All right. Thanks, guys.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.